Sidator, I managed to put him Tafshin Ayin Ches with Moshe Feldman.
Sorry? Sure. Yeah. Afreilich can put him, everybody. Afreilich can put him. If anybody got a spare strambel, I'll put it on. Start off with a child who is asking his father, Tati, tell me please the true meaning of Purim. What's Purim all about? A day of Simcha, we've got plenty days of Simcha. There's a day called Simchas Torah. A day of Simcha. La'yehudim hoysa oiro v'simcha v'sosoin v'ka. What's it all about? Well, the best place to begin is right at the very beginning. We take a Megillas Esther, and we look at the Megillah, and we see the words, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. If we want to understand, if we want to try and work out exactly what this Heiliger Sefer, which became one of the Chumash Megillahs, was trying to portray to us, was trying to give to us, we have to remember that Mordechai HaTzadik was one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Now, can you imagine? There were only 120 out of thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. We're talking about 10. We're talking about 120 chosen among Klal Yisrael to be not only a continuation of Torah Shebal Peh, but really to start off Torah Shebal Peh. What do I mean? Let's consider the situation in which Klal Yisrael found themselves at the time. They had had a Beis HaMikdash for 410 years. That Beis HaMikdash was lost. In that Beis HaMikdash, they had had full Gilui Shechina, they had everything, they had Urim V'Tumim, they had the Tzitz, they had Kol Mine Kedusha of Shechina was in that building. They lost it. Can you imagine losing a building like that? The home of the Shechina v'Kodesh Baruch Hu v'Osuli Mikdosh v'Shochanti b'Soichom. We're not talking about the temporary one of the Mishkan. We're talking about the permanent one, the Beis HaMikdosh. They were in Golos for almost 70 years. We are now reaching a time when they felt the excitement of returning to Eretz Yisrael, of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Let us stop here for a moment and say, this is the parallel to us. We are now, more than ever before, living in the most parallel time to Yemei HaPurim that actually happened. We're feeling the climax now. We're feeling that we're about to be rebuilding, to having the built Beis HaMikdash with us very, very soon. We're feeling that. The same as they felt at the end of the 70 years of Golus. We are seeing things all the time, witnessing all the time, building further and further, that it seems to be the climax coming towards a return. B'shuvcha L'tzion B'rachamim. Now you can imagine when Klal Yisrael were about to come and have the second Beis HaMikdash, they were determined that they were going to get it right this time. And they weren't going to lose it. They were going to hold on to it as tightly as they could. Now you can imagine that in order to do this, They were now faced with a terrible, terrible deficit. Because for a start, they did not have any more Nevi'im. The last few Nevi'im, the last few, Haggai and Malachi, the last two were gone, were Nifta, and now they were without Nevi'i Yisrael. But at the same time, they had to make do without these vital tools. They had to make do a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. How are they going to do it? By setting up an Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. This was the job. Most of what we have today, including our Shmoneh Esrei, and a lot of the build-up of our Siddur, and our Minhogim of Klal Yisroel and the Beis HaKnesses, comes from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Mordechai was included in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. He's one of the prominent ones. Mainly in Bavel. Mainly in Bavel. They were coming towards the end of the Babylonian Golos, and they realized they were coming into Eretz Yisrael. They were the ones who were going to continue into Eretz Yisrael eventually. Why doesn't the Megillah begin? Vayhi b'mei Mordechai. If we were going to write a Megillah, would we start off with talking about Ahasuerus and talking about the kind of curtains he had in his palace and the kind of marble pillars and marble floors? What's going on? Why is the Megillah writing in such a way that almost we're well into Perek Beis? Oh, by the way, Ishihudi Hoya Bashushan Abiro Shmoy Mordechai Ben Yoel Ben Shimi. I forgot to mention a kind of a PS. And then Asher Hoglo Mirushalai. This was going to be a blueprint for Doiris. This says Reb Dessler Zatzal. This was going to be the beginning, not only of the time of that particular time, but they hoped, of course, that their Beis HaMikdash was going to be the eternal Beis HaMikdash. They weren't on planning to have a third Beis HaMikdash. This was going to be the Beis HaMikdash. In a time when a person has distractions around him, including the palace of Ahasuerus, that, whether we like it or not, takes prominence in a person's life. And the Megillah knew that, and the Megillah accepted. Vayehi b'mei Ahasuerus. Let's face facts as they are. We all know that Mordechai to us is far more important than Ahasuerus. Whatever Ahasuerus did for us cannot compare to Mordechai. Most of the words of our davening that we say in davening come from Mordechai HaTzadik, come from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. But let's begin how a person finds himself. A person finds himself b'mei Ahasuerus. A person finds himself in the palace of Ahasuerus. A person finds himself being invited to a Seuda. Going to the Seuda of Ahasuerus. Our first response would be, not kosher. Not kosher food. There'll be every heksher in the world that you want will be there. No problem. When it says, V'yein Malchus Rov Keyat HaMelech, and every time it says HaMelech, it means Hashem, it's the best Yad HaMelech you could possibly have. That's going to be the Hasherim at Ahasuerus' party. No problem. Kichein Yisad HaMelech La'asoyis Kirtzoyin Ish for Ish. So what is the problem? The problem seems to be, if you don't go to the party, if you don't go to the party, you're showing disobedience to the king. The king's invited all the people of Shushan. The people's invited everybody to the party. You're not going. You're showing disobedience. Surely this is a case of pikuach nefesh. Surely. Ein lecha pikuach nefesh gedoy lo mizu. The king is going to be very angry if you didn't come to the party. Mordechai HaTzadik is teaching us vital Yahadus, exactly the same as our words of Shemayin Esra, and our words of Hallel, and our words of anything else that Mordechai HaTzadik made for us. Mordechai HaTzadik is teaching us, I'm telling you now, in case you thought it's a good thing to go to the party, in case you think it's a must to go to the party, I'm here to tell you, as my role of one of the Anshei Knesset Agdola, my role is not to go to the party. Which is against anybody's seichel, and which seems to be against anybody's Da'as Torah. How can it be? Surely it's Pekuach Nefesh. Surely it's a case of saving a person from danger. When we look at Mordechai HaTzadik, he's telling you that even though things seem to be as they are, things seem to be permanent, and Ahasuerus is going to be an everlasting kingdom, you should know that it's time to start preparing as if we are soon about to go into Eretz Yisrael and have the Beis HaMikdash again. We have to transfer into that mode. That was the message of Mordechai. The whole idea of the party is to show security, to show a fixing of Malchus Achashverosh. That was the whole idea, as the Megillah itself says. Beharoi soyes oishe kvoid malchusoi, ve'es yukor tiferes gudulosoi. That's the whole point. The point is, when you go to the party, you are being kibu ve'kiblu, the Oishe Kvoid Malchusoy of Achashverosh. It is time to be Kimu Vekiblu Teira to get ready for Beis HaMikdash. And the downfall, the toppling of the kingdom of Achashverosh. Apparently, many, many people weren't ready for that. They weren't ready for that kind of tfisa, for that kind of understanding. They couldn't grasp it. They saw danger as it was now. They saw the situation as it is. We've got to go to the party. Otherwise there'll be terrible danger. This once again is what the Megillah is telling us. However things look on the outside, however things look all around, and it seems so obvious and so prominent that we should go to the party, we should show our respect to Ahasuerus, I'm telling you now, this is not the right mode to be in. We've got to be in the mode now of being prepared to rebel, not openly, not yet, but to rebel in our minds of Malchus Ahasuerus. And we cannot do that if we go to Ahasuerus' party. Only then, after all that background, are we ready to start talking about Mordechai HaTzadik, Ishuhu Dihaya. Let us imagine for a moment what it was like when Esther was taken away from Mordechai to go to the palace of the king. It was the biggest nightmare possibly imaginable. Mordechai saw his cousin Esther, according to Chazal, he was married to her, being taken, led to the palace, as a possible queen, as a possible wife of Ahasuerus. Mordechai could see this whole drama unfolding. Vatilokach Esther, Esther was taken. What do we see in the Megillah? An amazing word. When Ahasuerus realized that he wanted to marry Esther, and he wanted Esther to be the queen, the same word monois that we say mishloach monois. He was prepared to give her portions of food. Mordechai.
No, if you give the last word. Portions of
food. Food. The same as we give portions of food. Yeah. Mordechai was prepared to come along and to say, I am here with you all the way. I realize that you're Karaka Oilam, which means you were forced to be taken to the palace against your will. I am with you all the way, and I'm giving you monois, I'm giving you portions, I'm making your life sweeter. It was in the same way that we find by Yosef. When Yosef was being taken down to Mitzrayim, and the caravans were full of beautiful smelling perfumes, and the kasha is, if Yosef is being taken down to Mitzrayim, is he going to care what kind of smells there are? He won't even notice the smell. No. Whatever a person can do to lighten the load of somebody else, he was prepared, ve'es monoiseho loseslo, to it made it look as if it was Achashverosh, that he himself wouldn't be giving portions to Esther. Finally, the situation came when Esther was taken and chosen to be the queen. When that happened, Mordechai realized that something desperate is going to happen through Esther. He realized that. And then we see an amazing thing later on in the Megillah. We find that Mordechai put on levush sock. Mordechai put on sackcloth. What does the Megillah say? Esther found out that Mordechai was wearing levush sock. He was wearing sackcloth. And she was upset about it. Here's a strange thing. Va'tishlach begodim lahalbish es Mordechai, ulahosi es sakwe me'olav. There's one thing missing here. To actually go and ask, why are you wearing this sackcloth? Imagine walking into a shiva house, seeing an oval sitting at the shiva, seeing the oval with torn clothing. By the way, I've got a spare jacket in the car. I'll bring it to you. But that's not the point. The whole idea is, he's wearing the jacket because of Avelis. So what's this? She goes and sends Begodim to dress Mordechai, Ulahose Sakrimalov, and surprise, surprise, Veloi Kibel. But of course not. What's going on? There's something missing here. Mordechai's wearing of sackcloth at the beginning of our story here, when he finds out the Gezeirah of Haman, and Esther sending Begodim to dress Mordechai, V'loi Kibel. It's a point of saying, Esther, there's something far greater here. I'm wearing sackcloth, not in Avelus. Because otherwise, what's the point of you sending Begodim? I'm wearing sackcloth. We don't find the word avelis yet. Let's look in the posuk. Vayil basak v'efer vayetze besoicho ir vayizak ze'oko gedoyla umora. He cried a great and bitter cry. Not a cry of mourning, a cry of bitterness. Was this bitterness to show the poor state of Klal Yisrael at the time? If it was, then the first thing Esther says, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to send Begodim to dress Mordechai. Don't wear these bitter Begodim. Try and find some way out. So, and Esther calls Hasach, and she says, I need to find out, Lodas Maze V'al Maze. Because if Mordechai is refusing the Begodim, it can't be because of bitterness to show the poor state of Klal Yisrael. It must be because of Avelus. If it's Avelus, what have we lost? Mordechai knew what Klal Yisrael had lost. Mordechai knew that Klal Yisrael had benefited from the Suda of Achashverosh, and Mordechai knew that this Gezeirah of Haman, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulabed means, what have we lost? The possibility of having a new Beis HaMikdash. Because in Ein Yehudim, Ein Beis HaMikdash. If they are going to be destroyed, then there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's what he realized. Two kashas. First of all, who were invited to the second party? The people of Shushan. The Gezeirah of Haman was over 127 countries. Why were the Yehudim in 127 countries deserving of being destroyed? They didn't go to the party. They weren't invited to the party. The only people invited to the party were the people of Shushan. So what's a shaykhus with the people of the 127 countries? But the thing is like this. The thing is, what do we do now? We have Purim, we read the Megillah, and we send Mishloach Monos. We send Mishloach Monos because, let's remember the other time we had the word Monos, when Mordechai sent Monos to Esther when she was taken to the palace. The people of Shushan felt cut off from the people of the other 127 countries. They weren't getting a feeling of friendship. They weren't getting a feeling of warmth. They were feeling that we are somehow treated as favourites of the king, because we're living in Shushan, and you're in the other 127 countries. There's no achdus among us. So therefore, even though the gezeirah was mainly because the people of Shushan went to the party, but the other people, what they should have done was, they should have had such achdus with the people of Shushan, that the same as they weren't going to the party, the people of Shushan also wouldn't have been going to the party. There would have been this achdus amongst them. In other words, even though they didn't have the havamin of going to the party, because they weren't invited, but they, if they would have felt that there's something wrong in going to a party, Mordechai is saying don't go to the party, if they would have lent out a hand of friendship to the people of Shushan, the people of Shushan would have not gone to the party. And they would have sided with the people of the other 127 countries. They would have said don't go. They would have, because they didn't have that nesoyim. The people of Shushan had the Nisoyim. They were in Shushan. They were invited. So they were told not to go to the party. So they were, even though Mordechai told them not to go, they were clouded from Mordechai's tzivoy, because they had this fear of not going to the party, if they wouldn't go to the party. But if the people of the other countries would have said, don't worry, if you don't go to the party, if any trouble happens to you because of that, we will be on your side. We'll come to your aid. We will help you. Right? Then it would have made them more receptive to Mordechai's warning not to go. Is that clear?
But they didn't. They said go.
They said go.
So what happened?
Pardon?
There was that. They're working together. Go, yeah, go to the party. It's all fine, no problem.
They didn't say go or not go. They just ignored.
No,
yeah. You do what you want to do. That's right. Yeah. That's right. There was no actors.
It's not because of no actors.
Oh, I see what you say.
You have to go.
It's not a case of no actors, but if there would have been proper actors, you're right. Not that there's no actors, but if there would have been more than no actors, if there would have been proper actors, then they would have helped the people of Shushan not to go to the party. I agree with you that it's not because there was no actors, but had there been more than no actors, there would have been great actors, super actors.
Maybe they were jealous that they should have gone as well.
Pardon?
If they were jealous, they should have gone as well.
No, because they had no negia, so therefore they could hear Mordechai's warning not to go to the party, and Mordechai warned day by day not to go, so they felt that this is... Alright?
Yes.
I've got so many more things to say, but I can see if there's any time. Should I carry in a bit more? Yeah. Right.
We'll be doing a minute, though.
Sorry?
The women are going to come in a second.
Right. Right. Okay. So we'll be up to... Oh, so now, when it comes to Mishloach Monos, I had a question. We were saved from Haman. Fine. What's that got to do with Mishloach Monos Ishlerayehu? Why don't we say Hanukkah? We were saved from Antiochus, we were saved from the Greeks. Let's have Neiros Hanukkah and Mishloach Monos Ishlerayehu. Why Dafka Purim? Why Dafka Purim was there mitzvah Mishlayach Manos? With what we've just said, we could answer. The people of Shushan felt cut off from the rest of the Yehudim living in the other 127 countries. They were kind of felt on their own. When a person feels on their own, that's when the Gezeirah of Haman could have taken place. They went to the party, they felt, this is what we have to do. They ignored Mordechai, they went to the party. The people of the 127 countries kind of allowed them to do what they had to do, which was, of course, against Mordechai. When we were saved from Gezeiras Haman, it shows, Mordechai wanted to show us, the same as I gave Monos to Esther when she was in the palace waiting to become queen, and the same as Esther sent me Monos when I was in sackcloth and she came out with a package, and that package was Monos. Mordechai sent Esther, and Esther sent Mordechai. They both sent each other. We turned round to Mordechai, and we could have said, Mordechai, you were the cause of the whole problem. You didn't bow down to Haman. There was nothing wrong in bowing down to Haman. You caused the whole problem. And now you're coming and telling us to do teshuva, the zigzerev, levushak, fast for 3 days. You were the cause of the whole problem. We didn't say that. Because we realized, we thought about it carefully, and we realized, no, it's because we didn't listen to Mordechai in the first place. Had we listened to Mordechai in the first place, there wouldn't have been a Haman for him not to bow down to. There wouldn't have been a Haman. So therefore, when it came to the Yeshua of Purim, we did not blame Mordechai. How do we know? Says Rav Matisyahu Shlita, because if you look towards the end of the Megillah, what does it say? That Mordechai came out, we all sing it together with the Mordechai Yotzar of that Melech, for Ir Shushan Sahal of Asamecha. We rejoiced at the fact that Mordechai was able to be Levush Malchus Techeles Vachur, as we say in Shana Yaakov, Sheshana Tzol of Asamecha, Biroisam Yaakov Techeles Mordechai. Just finish off by saying, what is the Simcha of Purim? The Simcha of Purim is to reach out to other people. To reach out not only with monos, with portions of food, and not only with money, but reach out. There are people who need our help in every possible kind of way. Even if it's only a smile. Even if it's only a short text. Even if it's only something. People need something. People need the warmth. People need a feeling of somebody cares about me. Even if it's only a smile. Even if it's only a hello. When it comes to Purim, the Simcha of Purim cannot be without Mishloach Monos Umatonos Levyonim. We've got to be a people together. And that's why Purim will never, ever, ever cease. Purim will never, ever go away. Because the foundations that Mordechai laid for Purim wasn't only for that particular Gezeirah. The foundations that Mordechai laid, the same as our Siddur, the same as all what we do in Klal Yisrael, is forever and ever and ever. What Mordechai gave for us, what Mordechai and Anshei Knesset Gedolah put down for us, is forever and ever. It cannot be temporary, it's got to be permanent. And once we get this Simcha, we realize how important Simchas Purim is. How important to have Achdus, Shalom, Veshalva, Achva, Vareyas.